Madam Chair, the House and Senate both had significantly different language on the sales tax study group. I believe the House had the Department of Revenue doing it. The Senate had the legislature doing it. I believe council has kind of a hybrid proposal for us where some of the work would be done by revenue, some would be done by the legislature. And I believe it is, Mr. Michael, the A31JM. Senator, Representative Mark Wart moves the A31-JM.
Thank you.
Mr. Michael?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, what this amendment does is to take the structure that was in the Senate bill, so it creates a legislative subcommittee that consists of five members of each of the House and Senate, including both of the chairs of the committees, charges that subcommittee with the duties that were in the Senate bill of examining the tax base and its implications and so forth and making recommendations back to the legislature. And then it also combines and requires the Department of Revenue in Subdivision 5 on page 2 to prepare a report that's essentially what was in the House bill, except it strips out of that any responsibility for revenue to make recommendations. Instead, the Department of Revenue would prepare an analysis of expanding and changing the sales tax base to be a tax base that's based on the ideal or the model sales tax, and then would also describe some of the legal and administrative problems with each of those changes and the incidence effects, and then what you would need to do to reduce the regressivity of the change by providing for a rebate. And the time for that report from DOR would be set by the subcommittee, and the amendment directs the subcommittee to work with revenue and sort of designing exactly how that report would be done, the components, and when it would be done. So essentially it combines the report, the information in the report that the House wanted without the recommendations from DOR, and the structure that the Senate had with the responsibility for doing the recommendations on this new legislative body.
Senator Bach, thank you. If this is acceptable to everyone, I would like to move the A31 amendment. I think this is a good compromise between the House and Senate positions on these two studies.
Mr. Manson, have you looked at it?
Mr. Chairman, I have looked at it, and it does look like a good approach. It seems to be pretty much, as Mr. Joel explained, and Mr. Michael explained it, that it's kind of the same thing that we were required to do on the House side as far as our role. And we did have a fiscal note on that that was funded in on the House bill, so I mean, that's going to be a concern of ours. But we do like the approach.
Okay. We will have to carry some money on the spreadsheet for this.
Leave Senator Bach in the House. Is Mr. Michael says we had 87,000.
But we can carry that in
the right number.
It's in the first biennium, or it's
yes.
in the current biennium.
Yep.
Any questions, members? On the Mark Wart motion.
On the Mark Wart motion, would you like that better? I was busy working on a detail. On the Marquardt motion, yes, I apologize.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. Motion prevails. Amendment is adopted.
Senator Bach.
Madam Chair.
And, Mr. Chair, Senator Bach, Senator Bach and I talked again, and we've learned more information than I think what we're trying to do with Grand Marais doesn't quite get us there. We talked about this yesterday, and again, members know we are trying to deal with a crisis situation, a disaster up north, and we want to get some more resources there. So, Senator Bach, can you tell us what we need to do?
Well,
Well, Madam Chair, in the bill, we have 250, and it was amended to make it kind of a hybrid for Grand Marais and Cook County, make the money available to both. And what we have in there is $250,000 per year of the biennium. And, Madam Chair, I would propose that we increase that appropriation to $500,000 in each year of the upcoming biennium, so the total appropriation would be $1 million. And if you would move that.
I would love to move that. And do we have language so we all know what we're doing there? Does everyone understand? I'll move the oral explanation that Senator Bach just gave us.
All we have to do is change the 250 to 500,000.
Okay. So we'll change 250 to 500,000 in the motion to both of the places referenced by Senator Bach.
Senator, I don't have a problem with doing it. I guess my only question would be is how are we coming to the rationale of moving it from 500? Have you gotten more information that is giving you the indication that we need to do this?
We'll be happy to bring some stuff back after. We've got several emails from the county.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
Needs to replace equipment and okay. Lots of needs. On the Lencheski motion, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Contrary, no. Motion prevails. Thank you, Madam Chair. Appreciate it. And the people of Cook County appreciate it. The Mankato local option sales tax, I believe in the bill we had a bit of a hybrid between the Senate and the House language. And I believe we'd like to reconsider what's in the bill and adopt the House language.
Senator Bach, we appreciate that. I know that you know that your legislator has got the concern there, and ours, same, both sides, Senate and House, have expressed that it really doesn't work in the way we were trying to get it done. So we can move the House. I would like to move the House language on the North Mankato local option sales tax.
Representative Lencheski moves the House language on the North Mankato local option sales tax. And members, when we talked about this earlier, the question kind of was we didn't know what the riverfront development was. I think we have a little better understanding of what that was now. So I think this is a reasonable conclusion.
You know, Senator Bach, if I may, Mr.
Madam Chair.
I just want to reiterate these local option sales tax things are really painful for this committee. I don't think people understand necessarily our colleagues in the House and Senate and the communities who want these. Really, I mean, we have to be honest, this is not good tax policy. This is not the way to fund things. And it's very painful for the House to want to do any of these, and I know the Senate feels very similar. We need to make a commitment to Minnesota that we are going to stop trying to fund things this way. This is a regressive way. It is not using equalization, it's these cuts that have happened, taking away from local government aid, county aid, not equalizing, not doing school funding. Our cities are all coming with TIF districts that are very irresponsible, with local option sales taxes that are very irresponsible, and we've been trying to say, look, if you took a vote and you thought it worked, when you thought the law worked for you that way, I guess we're going to let you in. But people just have to hear that from tax policy perspective for the House and Senate, and I don't want to speak for you, Senator Bach, but, I've had a lot of conversation with you. I know your conferees feel similar as to we have to stop these. This is not working. This is making the disparities between high average net tax capacity communities and low average net tax capacity communities worse. It is moving things in the wrong direction. You got people coming in now asking to tax themselves more in a regressive way to do what the state should be doing. And I know, Senator Bach, that the Senate knows that that is a problem, and it's difficult for members to hear this message. They are asked by their cities to carry these bills. They're a bad idea. And, we're willing to, and you are too. The Senate is too willing to do this, but we have to be brave and say no to all of our colleagues. bipartisanly in the House and Senate. We've all got them. Representative Simpson knows. Got Republicans working him on it all the time. Senate Republicans are working it. Senate Democrats, House Democrats. You know, it's the tax committee's job to stop doing this. And these just have got to end. And I know everyone's trying to get in under the door as it's just coming down to crush the fingers. But the door is coming down. And everyone has to understand that. This is not the way to fund government. Senator Bach,
Madam Chair, one of the things that troubles me about the North Mankato situation, and they have, I believe, good projects and they have need and they don't have money, but the argument that comes in front of us that, well, Mankato has it, and because Mankato has it, North Mankato should have it. And I don't know if there is if we drove through Mankato, would know where Mankato ends and North Mankato starts. And, I mean, that argument's very troubling. And the more we continue to expand these, the more people are going to come with that argument. Representative Carlson.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I fully concur with what our chair is saying. You know, and I mentioned the other night when we talked about this, I happen to represent a district that's primarily a bedroom town. We have some strip shopping malls in Crystal and Robbinsdale, but we're sandwiched literally in Brookdale and Richdale. And it's not a level playing field. Even if we had the local auction sales tax, it would not generate the revenue, and yet we support those commercial ventures. That's where our folks often shop, unless they're going to the neighborhood hardware store or something like that. Our retailers are relatively small. And I know it is a House position, but I think, like you, Madam Chair, I express concern about the overall direction and fully concur that if the revenue is needed, it should be done in a more equitable way so all communities benefit from the facilitated level.
On the motion to adopt the House language on the North Mankato sales tax. Any other discussion? This may be the last one we do, Madam Chair, as you and I as chairs.
Let's hope so.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Contrary, no?
No.
Motion prevails. Amendment is adopted. Madam Chair, Senator Skoy moves to 821. This is the minerals.
Oh, Senator. Oh, okay. This is a fun one.
Representative Simpson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think, with the discussion we just had on the local option sales tax, I think while this is being passed out, I think a good message needs to be sent out. And I would hope the League of Minnesota Cities and the Coalition of Cities and stuff would send this message out to their cities that the direction that the House and Senate are going on the sales tax option and why we're doing it and why we think that they need to inform their cities so that maybe the discussion can be had on a local level and they can bring back some thoughts too. But I think that they need to take that message out of this room. So I just appreciate that.
Testimony table for it.
Thanks. They know it's bad too. Everybody
Carlson,
knows it's bad.
Carlson, welcome to the Tax Committee. Your name for the record, please.
Mr. Chair, my name is Gary Carlson. I'm with the League of Minnesota Cities.
Mr. Carlson, the Representative Lincheski and I have to send a letter to you so that you can adequately communicate to your membership that we don't plan on doing any local option sales taxes for cities for the next 3 years. We don't plan to even hear any bills on that subject. Would a letter help you? Or do you think you can communicate that without a letter from us?
Mr. Chair, members, a letter would be very, very nice to help explain the concerns that the committee has, and we will certainly let our members know that there are concerns with the local sales taxes that come forward. I should say, if you can give me 1 second, that we have supported diversification of local revenues for projects, and partly because the property tax has become excessive in many communities, and they're looking for other ways to fund some of these projects. And please remember that there are projects where you have spillover benefits that go beyond the boundaries or beyond the taxpayers of that jurisdiction. And I think there are opportunities for us to use sales taxes to finance improvements. And I go back to the great example of the Wilmer Library, where they demonstrated that much of their library usage back, I think it was in the mid-90s, was actually Greater Candiohi County that was coming in to use it. So before you dispense with local sales taxes altogether, please remember that there may be some very valid public finance reasons to use them.
Mr. Carlson, the thing that's becoming troubling for me is how the library argument has morphed into ball fields and bike paths and hiking trails. It is, and I agree with you on the library. I do think there clearly is some regional benefit. People outside the community are going to pay, they should get some benefit, and there's a benefit in a library in a community. But morphing it into some other things that we're seeing in these bills just kind of begs the question, how creative are we going to get about trying to make the argument that there's regional impact to the things we're going to fund? So, Mr. Carlson, Madam Chair, how would you feel about you and I putting a letter together and sending it over to the league, and if that helps them communicate their message?
Chair, I'm happy to do that. You know, I think Mr. Carlson and all these groups, they're in a tough spot. You know, they have a broad membership. Some people want these, some people don't. I think they're fairly limited in the ability to just do good policy, and I respect that. These are not good policy. We know it. And, you know, we can't stop legislators from introducing bills, but I think we should do a letter, and I think people will maybe start to believe it when we will not give them hearings. People can draft them all they want. Going to have any hearings on local option sales taxes. You know, if this is something that after a few years people just, the state implodes because we don't have any more, well then after a breather we might have to come back and start some hearings again. And I don't think anything's going to happen. In fact, no matter what tax bill gets signed tomorrow, we know it's going to move us in the right direction. We're going to start returning that fiscal relationship between state and locals. And we're not going backward now, we're going forward. And I'm not going to hear them anymore on my side. You're not going to hear them. I guess I might not be the tax chair in another year, so I can commit to next year. I won't hear them. But if we're lucky enough to stay in the majority, then I'm not planning on hearing them. And people have to hear that. People just have to hear that. It's gotten out of control. We have 43 suburbs now who have them. We didn't get to vote on them. We've got them sprinkled all over based on who knows what. The door is closing, so I'm happy to do a letter with you, Senator Bach.
Thank you, Mr. Carlson. That's helpful. And we want to make your job easier. And we don't want you to have to take the hit for, I think Representative Chesky and I are willing to be the ball guy in this, that cities need to know we're taking a breather here and kind of take a look at the state models. So,
thank you, Mr. Chair.
Madam Chair, I think you'll be the tax chair next year. My situation in my caucus where I'm elected, I'm not sure either. But I think we need a breather on these city option sales taxes. And Representative Carlson, I have several issues just like you in my district, and that's been my resistance to these things. And the classic example for me in my district is the city of Babbitt, which is a bedroom community to the mine. That's what it is. And there is very little retail there. My dad worked on that town site in the 50s when Babbitt was built. And it was a potato field. And it came up, and Senator Scoy should be here, it was a potato field, and they built the town there to service the mine that was being constructed. And there still is no retail there. There's a little grocery store and maybe a little hardware store, but I mean, it's a bedroom community to the mine. And 15 miles away is Ely, another town in my district that has an incredible tourism economy and a strong desire to have a local option sales tax. But as a matter of policy, as we head down that road, allowing more local option sales taxes, we are creating a huge environment of winners and losers all across the state, because there are examples of that every place. Representative Carlson, I actually appreciate your no vote on the North Mankato sales tax. And I share that frustration.
Chairman, it was not North Mankato per se, it was the principal issue.
I understand that. It's the whole policy issue. Yeah. I think your vote's, frankly, the right policy.
It is the right one. It is.
Madam Chair, the 821 amendment that Senator Skoy moved, this is an amendment to the minerals article. This is an amendment to the minerals article. There was some speculation that Representative Rukavina and I had a dispute about the minerals article as it related to the Eveleth School District. And when Representative Rukavina and I got together this morning with staff to talk about that dispute, it turned out that wasn't the dispute. And the dispute was about this amendment. There was some language in the Iron Range Higher Education account. There was an additional use allowing some utilization by state-certified apprenticeship programs to be able to access some higher ed money. And this is a new account we're just creating. So what this amendment does is deletes the reference to apprenticeship programs being able to be eligible to participate in this funding. And this is an agreement between myself and Representative Rukavina. Staff watched us shake hands that these are the only amendments to the minerals article that we need. And Senator Skoy is moving this because he is the newest member of the IRRRB board. And he's going to attend his first meeting in June. He's appointed by the majority leader of the Senate this year. So we're going to make him an honorary ranger rather than just a consultant.
You got to.
Yeah, we have one in the House, Representative Junkie.
Yeah, that's right.
He's our, I believe we're calling, are we calling Representative Junkie Representative Rukavina's driver or a farm consultant? I'm not.
Maybe both.
Sure.
Mr. Chairman, I just have a question. You know, when I've dealt with some of these issues before, back the last time I remember Senator Dicklich and I were involved with an issue, and you listed, just trying to remember, all these pennies or whatever. I mean, it took a half a line. Now we were just saying 2 cents per taxable ton. What's the difference between what was in statute historically? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I, Representative Carlson, I think it's all still there. There is a penny or two for this and a penny or two for that and 3 cents for that. 30 cents for that.
Well, bring it out. Maybe staff remembers what some of that is, but that's digressing a bit. But there would be these listings of percentages carried out several places.
That's still true in that mining tax resource guy, Tom, was showing it to me yesterday. We don't have it here. We get it.
The taconite tax gets spread. We say somewhat like a property tax, but it's more than that because it's also an economic development agency. So it goes to, and this makes the taconite tax also some money available for higher educational programs. I mean,
yeah, that's, Mr. Chairman, that's what that was that I'm referring to. We were setting up some sort of a scholarship program, and it would be all these decimal places spread out when we were dealing with.
Yeah, that is not aware of that.
We're on a short time frame, so you don't need to get involved with that. Maybe they've changed. It just reads much simpler now with 2 cents.
The higher ed district is in current law at the IRRRB.
Mr. Chair.
On the 821.
And I apologize. I had to step out. And, you know, I just want folks to know here that Representative Rukavina and Senator Bach, they are just a joy to watch them work together. These two characters have put me through, I won't say, for the last 3 days. You know, I had Representative Rukavina yelling so loud that a number of members asked me yesterday if I was okay, what was Representative Rukavina mad at me about, and he was actually mad at Senator Bach. So, people, some, he, you know, It has been a very difficult negotiation between Representative Rukavina and Senator Bach. The House has held for Representative Rukavina, and the position of the House has been all along that Representative Rukavina, the House would not agree to Article 8 until Representative Rukavina and Senator Bach could work it out. So they met today after much gnashing of teeth, and I think they accosted each other in a parking lot last night. I think there was a note full of profanity on your door. I've seen a lot of stuff going on the last few days. And I insisted that I see them shake hands. So I want to get on the tape that this morning I watched them shake hands on this provision. So I think we're all good to go. And, you know, what do you Rangers eat for breakfast? I just curious.
Well, Madam Chair, just because we shook hands doesn't mean we're talking to each other. But isn't it interesting that, wasn't it about the Evelyn School?
Yeah.
How did we do on the Evelyn School?
No comment.
You notice the Evelyn School is not referenced in the amendment. But anyway, on the 821 motion by Senator Skoy. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
If you're no, motion fails. 821 is adopted. Hockey.
Hockey. Yes. Do we know where that is? Do you want us to move it?
Yeah.
Local chair.
Do you want to take out the hockey?
Senator Moi.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move that we strike the hockey surcharge
from this bill.
Well, I don't know what the line is.
Page 167. Of the actual one that says unofficial. Yep. Page
67. Oh. Mr. Chair, I'd like to move that we delete Article 9, Section 1.
And members, that is the 10 cent a ticket surcharge on professional hockey tickets sold in Minnesota. And I wanted to give Representative Rukavina this provision because I wanted him and I to get along. And I do believe that Representative Chesky in this morning's meeting, he requested that we take this out. Is that
yes, Senator Bach and Senator Moi, this was part of the handshake on the list. Yes, Representative Rukavina has agreed this should go.
Mr. Chair, what you all don't realize is that I arm wrestled with Representative Rukavina and I won. That's why.
That's why.
He agreed to take this out. So.
Please say that into the microphone. Is our tape running okay?
Taking that one back.
On the Moi motion. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Contrary, no. Motion prevails. Amendment is adopted. Madam Chair, that's all I have on my list for now. Representative Marquardt.
It has to do with the property tax statement, just cleaning up the
okay.
front of that.
Okay, hold that. Yeah, we need to do that. That's ready?
Yep.
Okay.
Let's see, I'll keep that one.
It's not ready.
It's not quite ready. Mr. Chair, I would move the PHO 21B amendment. And what that does, Mr. Chair, is deal with some of the things we talked about in trying to clean up the property tax statement. And what this would do is it would eliminate two lines. It's actually, here's a from statement of property taxes from Spruce County, but those lines 3 and 4 that says your property tax before reduction by state paid aids and credits and aid paid by the state of Minnesota to reduce your property tax, these are big numbers and actually just doesn't mean much. It would not eliminate the market value homestead credit, that line, but these other two big ones that they're saying if the state didn't give stuff money to local governments to be higher. So it would help free this up, clean it up, that front page. And also the other part of it says that you would have to put in larger font and more predominant the statement, the fact that you're eligible for refunds, that type of thing. So it's identify the availability of the refunds under this chapter in a prominent font that is larger than the predominant font. So right now, this tells you, a little line right here tells you can do that. It would make it larger in that regard. So it's, and Ms. Baker had put this together and others, so it would clean the property tax statement up and also make it publicize your refund a little more, make it a little more predominant on the front page.
Representative Marquardt, I'm not a social studies teacher that teaches civics, but can you tell me where Spruce County is? I know we have 87 counties in the state, and I don't remember being on the list.
Mr. Chair, it is not a county. It's used for example purposes only. And if you notice, it's also a John J. and Mary A. Johnson of 123 Spruce Street, Spruceville, Minnesota, 55555 on the address.
And they live in Spruce County, too.
They do.
Works well.
Yeah.
You know, Mr. Chair.
Senator Scott.
You know, there was some discussion in Pine County. They could have had a Pine County and a Spruce County.
And there is a Pine County.
There is a Pine County.
There's a Young Johnson.
On the Marquardt motion, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. Motion prevails. The amendment's adopted.
Anything else?
We can't do anything tonight. Can we do anything this morning? Part of the
Senator Wieger here? Senator Wieger at some point wanted to talk about North St. Paul.
Yeah.
He has been asking me a couple times a day, and I told him if I ever got the gavel back, I would give him an opportunity to at least come and make his case on behalf of his city.
Are we, Mr. Chair?
Representative Chesky.
Are we adjourning for the day in 5 minutes? How long you can have the gavel?
Sure, I think I got a pretty good feeling we're going to recess.
Oh, okay.
You'll probably find Senator Lee.
I don't know if he's here, but that, you know, Senator Bach,
I don't know if Senator Day
fine.
Is here either, but he wanted to talk about Faribault.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they do.
Who else?
I don't know. Everybody, if you open it, I guess. But, Mr. Chair? On another item, if I may, I do want to clarify in the Vikings discussion last night, there was a Vikings lobbyist who did talk to me. And I want to clarify so that folks don't worry that he's not doing his job, because he's doing his job, and I think he's talked to all of us. What I meant in the House is I had not heard about the sales tax study language or any changes to the sales tax study language, but I have talked to the Vikings lobbyist, and they asked for a hearing, and we did that, and so, yes. I don't want to defame anyone's work ethic around here, because he does a great job for his clients, and I just wanted to be clear that that was in jest, and members were just referencing the sales tax, or the Viking study language, which I think House members need to learn a little bit more about before we can act on that. We're probably going to talk about that later today, would be my guess, but I just wanted to make that clear for the record.
Representative Carlson, referencing that language. Well, I commented quite a bit when I referenced going back 30 years ago. I was involved when they set up a study.
Yes.
So, we should clarify.
Yeah, just for the study.
The Mueller report?
And I don't know if they're here in the room right now, but I just want them to know that we were kidding about the study. Yes.
The Mueller bill on deathbed giving. I don't believe we've adopted that yet. I think it might be the appropriate time to do that.
Sure.
Mr. Michael, can you find us the
side by side?
On the side by side where that's at?
Part of it, too. Look back, 3-year look back.
Chair. That's, if I may, Mr. Chair.
Representative Chesky.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We had quite a bit of discussion about that in this room back when we were going through the side-by-sides. It's a House position, and I would like to make that motion.
Madam Chair, I think that motion includes the House language excluding the last bullet.
Is that correct, Mr. Michael? Yes, okay.
Plus Section 2.
Plus Section 2. Excluding the last bullet, plus Section 2. That's my motion, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Simpson.
When you said Section 2, is that the gifts made within 3 years?
That's my.
Mr. Chair, Representative Simpson, yes, this motion would adopt the gifts made within 3 years of death, including those to the extent they're federally taxable in the estate. And then Section 2 is the conform, it's just a conforming change in the computation of the tax base. The substance is in the first two bullets in Section, or the substance really is in Section, Section 1, the second bullet, it's the description of it.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Michael, in that exemption, the annual exemption of $12,000 per recipient, gifts that exceed the annual amount, so a $15,000 gift, are you taxing $3,000 of it or $15,000 because it's over the exemption?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Marty, it's an exclusion, so it's in that case you would report $3,000 gift, right?
Representative Carlson.
Chairman, just to clarify the motion, when you say the last bullet, then that $500,000 is not part of the motion?
The paragraph with $500,000 in it, the last bullet in Section 1 is not included.
Yeah. Okay, that's fine.
Any other discussion? All in favor,
Senator Bach, what's the rationale for taking out the last bullet point? I thought that there was some discussion about the farm property and small businesses that wasn't that clarified and put in at a later date, Chair Lynchowski?
Representative Lynchowski.
Mr. Chair, Representative Simpson, I want to do that. We're trying to find the money to do that. We don't, you know, still have a permanent target here, but at this point, we definitely can't do it without this provision. We can't do a lot of other things, so we're trying to make this, at least get this part done.
Madam Chair, I know it's the House position, but I have a concern about that because there are citizens who make other kinds of investments. And again, it's a level playing field. I mean, if you're going to exempt an additional $500,000, somebody that perhaps has invested in with their savings and stocks and bonds or whatever they've done, which also help the economy and one thing or another would not have that same benefit. So I think in the future when we talk about that, and I know it does have a cost factor, but part of that discussion I would hope would be a level playing field in terms of all citizens having an exemption.
Mr. Carlson, you make a good point there. On the Lynchowski motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. Motion passed. Do we have anything else? I don't think we have anything else right now. Members, we're still working on some language on local government aid. On council's working on some language on townships. We don't actually have any language in here yet on the township aid. And then we've got members, if you have, we're going to take a recess, and if in going through the side-by-side you have something you want us to consider, we should be prepared to come back and do that sometime later this afternoon or evening. We're still trying to work with the majority leader and the speaker and the governor on a tails issue that we have. I think, Madam Chair, it's probably not a lot of point for us to come back until they've resolved that tails issue for us sometime later today. And that's kind of out of our control when they're going to finally resolve that for us. So I can't say for sure how long we might recess, because I think the next time we come back, we'd probably like to finish our work.
So you know the township here.
Yeah.
Sandy Dickey's going to call your phone number if you need to be up there.
Okay. Senator Skoy makes a good suggestion that maybe we can hear from the township. Kind of, they've been working with Senator Skoy and Representative Mark Ward on some language relative to putting a township aid in law. So, Madam Chair, if it's okay, maybe we could hear from them a little bit. Mr. Vanosik, welcome to the committee. It's your name and who you represent, please.
My name's Rob Vanosik, here on behalf of the Minnesota Association of Townships. Thank you for inviting me to speak today. We've been in discussions a couple days ago with Senator Skoy and his staff and some of the Senate staff, and the formula that's come up with that isn't the House, isn't the Senate, but gets at what we'd like to see. I don't know if you want me to reference that. It's taking the adjusted net tax capacity of agriculture divided by the adjusted net tax capacity of non-agriculture, and then the first factor, the second factor is the total number of township acreage up to a maximum amount, and the third factor would be the square root of the population. It works out pretty well across the state. It's equitable, and we support it.
And Madam Chair, we just don't have kind of all the language yet. So,
Mr. Chair.
Senator Skoy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Mr. Vanosik. Yes, we have been working together on this, and I really think it is a good step. And this is the time to do something with the need formula for township aid when we are restoring from the 2001 elimination. And we've worked pretty hard on it. And as soon as we get the language, we'll bring it to the committee. But you know, I saw Mr. Vanosik here, and now we can get the testimony out of the way so the committee knows that they're supportive of what we've been working on.
Sure.
Next time we get together, hopefully we'll have the language.
Mr. Chair.
Mr.
Chair, I also support this and have worked with Senator Skoy on that. And what it does, it tends to put more rural townships would see a little more dollars per person, which I think is the way you should go. And there's also, it kind of combines the ag portion land with population, but the population is actually a square root of that population. So as your population changes, it's tempered a little bit. And so if there's an annexation that takes population out of a township, there would be a loss, but not as great as because the it's a square root of the population. So I think it tends to help townships out as if they have areas annexed and so forth. And I think it's actually going to, having worked with the annexation process quite a bit, actually help in that regards, kind of as between cities and townships. So I think it's a good plan and one we should endorse.
Senator Moore.
Well, Mr. Chair, you know, given that, I mean, this is a really good example and a good rationale for a foundation for the discussion on the LGA formula, I think, because, I mean, part of the reason why we need to do this is because there's so much needs in the townships. And I'm really glad that if we're not going to have a transportation bill, and I hope we still do, I'm glad that we're trying to do something here for townships, because the thing that I've heard time and again is that the way that the LGA allocations are and the way that we've so dramatically cut back in other areas to our local governments is that there's just so much needs out there. And to some extent, I think that this formula does really point out to the needs argument for bringing back the township aid, and I know that for the metro area and for a lot of the, the more fully developed suburbs, the needs factor is one of the factors that we've looked at, and it's been encouraging to sit here and to look at the different responses we've come back to in terms of the needs of the different local government. Levels of local government out there, and clearly, I mean, there's a needs issue here that we we ought to pay attention to, and I certainly hope that as we move forward in our LGA study and in that discussion, that we would focus and come back and make it as part of that, looking at sort of a needs analysis as part of any kind of future formulation of an LGA formula.
Well, thank you, Sarah Moy. I appreciate that. You know, I represent a lot of townships, and they really are the grassroots, the most grassroots form of government. I mean, they are the closest to the people. And, you know, I remember being very disappointed when I, in my tenure in the House, when a House member one time introduced a bill to abolish township government. Abolish it. And fortunately, we didn't do that. And I think this is a very important day and a very important provision in I think telling locals the government that we're going to restore that relationship between state and local governments. And townships are a part of local governments too, and smaller, more grassroots, but perform very, very vital services in rural areas of the state. And I remind members about 3 weeks ago when I stopped in Willow River and came out of the cafe, and the Willow River Township fire truck was going down the freeway and providing some state help to provide those vital emergency services, I think, is something we all should be very proud of that we're doing in this bill. So, Senator Moy, I appreciate your comments on that, and Senator Skoy and Representative Marquardt, thank you for your work on this, because I think it's a small amount of money, but it's a big piece of kind of restoring the relationship. That we don't have a lot of money to fix a lot of stuff this year, but I think we're sending a strong message from this tax conference committee that we want that we want to make sure that there's a good relationship between state and local units of government. So, Representative Chesky.
Senator Bach, and you know, one other thing I think that's really great about this provision is this is an example of when everybody interested got together, read on something. I think other groups should take note that some of the things we'd like to do is ask them to begin to work together. That will help them get more resources when they can come to the table and show us a way that they can work together. And I think this group has done that. And I think other groups should take note. This pitting cities against each other, or counties, or these kind of cities, and that's not going to work, I don't think, going forward. The townships have found a way to work this out. And it's going to help us get them some funding, and I think that should be noted for others coming forward.
Thank you. Members, take a look. If there's something more you want to be able to consider when we come back, we want to make sure that everybody has an opportunity to, if there's some provision you'd like to move and have a discussion, and we'll need to know that. I wish I could tell you for sure what time we're coming back, but I think it largely is in the hands of our leadership right now. And we're Representative Chesky.
Tax volatility account. Mr. Chair, if I may, I want to move a section, and I don't know where it is yet. On the side-by-side, Mr. Michael's finding it for me. If I could just remind members what it was. We had a long discussion about that in this room. This was the House position. We worked on it in a bipartisan way to address this concern that unless Congress makes a change, we won't need this. But if Congress does not make a change and the capital gains tax rate goes up from 15% to 20% as scheduled, we're anticipating, like the time it happened before in the 80s, that we will see a huge realization as people unload their money to avoid the tax. Big spike in revenue followed by a huge plummet and a big swing, the order of hundreds of millions of dollars for the Minnesota tax system. This provision attempts to set up a reserve to have the Commissioner of Revenue hold it there to get rid of the volatility. And if Congress acts, we won't need it. I just want to remind everybody that Dr. Stinson, our Council of Economic Advisors, brought it to us in the forecast as something to get ready for and take note of. And so this is at least, at this point, we don't have money in this provision. This is a zero-cost provision. This is just saying to the world, I guess, that at least these 10 conferees, if you all agree, understand this is coming, and we will have to prepare for it. And it's already in the forecast, so it's in the planning estimates right now. And, Mr. Chair, if I may, if Mr. Manson wants to comment on it, I guess we haven't talked about it in a while, but...
Mr. Manson?
It's finance.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Lancheski. No, I think it's a good idea. It's kind of a finance question, yeah, but it's a good idea, kind of contingency plan, and I think it's interesting approach.
Well, Madam Chair, I've been convinced that I think it's important for this committee to remind the legislature, if in 2010 we see a big spike in revenue in the forecast, that we don't run off and want to spend that, because it could be the next year all that money will be gone away plus some, because of people simply making a decision based on a change in federal tax law. And so I think become convinced this is a good idea, and it will show up on the budget forecast, I believe, as a pot of money committed for, so that we don't just run off and spend it.
Mr. Chair, if I may formally move it, I'd like to move Article 14 of the House Bill, Sections 2 and 3.
On what page?
That's on the House Bill, page 276. I don't know on the side by side.
98, 99.
Page 98, 99
on side by side. Oh. We have to set whatever.
All right.
Can I ask,
Mr. Chair?
Rob Lanchesky.
Can I add to my motion? There's the language on the actual dollar amount that'll have to get set.
In the reserve,
and Ms. Zoff and Mr. Michael will have to make that calculation. So if we can be clear on that.
So we'll have adopted the language, but we'll still have to plug in the number on the budget reserve.
On the budget reserve.
Agreement is correct. And I think that number could potentially still be moving around. On the Lancheski motion. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. Motion fails. Amendment is adopted. Madam Chair, can you think of anything else for now? Representative Diedrich, how are we doing?
Making progress.
That's a good thing.
Sorry.
Anything else, members? We're going to recess to the call of the chair.